Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by a ship privately. Thus far in our study of the Gospel of Mark, we have observed not only the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have observed also the ministry of Christ's disciples. Beginning in Mark chapter 1, we read of Christ calling Simon and Andrew. We read of Christ calling James and John, these men who were fishermen by trade, to be fishers of men. Mark chapter 3 tells us that Jesus ordained 12 that should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Two Sunday evenings ago in chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, we read of the disciples being sent forth from the Lord Jesus Christ to the regions of Israel, two by two, preaching, healing, and serving. Now keep in mind that as they travel, there were no cars or buses to travel. There was no giving of the disciples, donkeys or horses. As the disciples went on their evangelistic mission, they walked from town to town, staying in the homes of those who would graciously exercise hospitality. Keep in mind also that as they endeavored to preach the gospel, they were met with stubborn unbelief. They were met with opposition and rejection. There would be those in various towns that would not give them opportunity to even hear their message. There would be those in various towns who would mock them and cast them out. There would be those who frown at their seemingly harsh message of repentance. There would be those who take offense at the disciples calling out their sinful habits. Also keep in mind that whenever they were not preaching and performing miracles and discipling new converts, encouraging those who already know Christ, after beyond being polite and giving time to their hostess, they were being diligent in their studies. They were giving themselves to prayer in the ministry of the Word. And so we might see thus far in the ministries of the disciple that their ministry was no cakewalk. It was no walk in the park. Their ministry did not consist of working one day a week. It was not a clock in, clock out, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday with weekends off. The disciples were throwing their whole weight into the work of the ministry, rising early, staying up late at night, in the homes and out of the homes of others, visiting the sick, being confronted with demon-possessed menaces, helping with various types of spiritual and physical needs, answering questions about the Bible that community members had. They were eager, they were joyful, they were zealous, they were faithful soldiers on the spiritual battlefield, giving their blood, sweat, and tears, as we say, to see Christ's kingdom advance and the name of God glorified. And without warning, Jesus holds up a bright octagonal sign, so to speak, that read, S-T-O-P, stop. And Jesus says in so many words, stop what you are doing. I know others want you to return to their homes for a follow-up visit. I know that you are desiring to reach the next town for the gospel. I know many are still sick who are hoping for you to come and help them in a moment's notice. But disciples, you have need of rest. Jesus says, come apart from all your labors and rest a while. Get into the boat, cross the sea, and catch your breath. And what did the disciples do? They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. Verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. We might ask, how does this text apply to us? We are not disciples. We are not traveling by foot from place to place, preaching the gospel, living in the homes of others. What need do I have of the truths in this passage? Well, if you are a faithful laborer in the Lord's vineyard, you have need to understand that Jesus Christ desires, yea, Jesus Christ commands that his servants take needful times of rest. And if you are a church member, you have need to be somewhat knowledgeable about the work of pastoral ministry to help protect the pastor from burning out or breaking down. I'm convinced that many pastors who are no longer in ministry are no longer in ministry because they were not properly helped by others who were around when the warning signs were flashing. Now, I do not say this out of self-pity or in an arrogant manner because I'm a pastor, but rather in a serious, loving concern for those in ministry, for others, pastors and preachers who could have been helped, and only if the church family knew something about ministry, perhaps it would have avoided a crash and burn. So with that said, I want us to consider two main truths regarding the ministry of rest. First, who rest is for, and second, what rest does. First, who rest is for. Rest is for those who are diligent in their labors. Look at the apostles. They have been like the farmer, diligently plowing in the field from dawn to dusk. They have been faithful soldiers in the field, fighting the forces of evil. Remember that we battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the disciples have been, as it were, charging hell with a squirt gun. They are doing their best to punch holes in the darkness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are, as parents, babying little Christians new in the faith, spoon-feeding them and burping them, making sure that they walk in a manner that is worthy. They are confronted with sin and the effects of sin. And we can safely assume that those that they were preaching to who came to know Jesus as Savior were those with a lot of sinful baggage. When we meet with others who give their hearts to the Lord, sometimes we meet with others who have a history of sin, who pastors and disciples and those who are ministering the gospel have the pleasure of leading them out of. But such diligent labor has the ability to produce mental fatigue, heavy hearts, sorrowing spirits, and physical exhaustion. And Jesus, knowing that they are only men, Jesus, knowing man's weaknesses, knowing that the body and mind and spirit can only take so much, commands his servants to come apart and rest a while. He commands them to withdraw to a private, quiet place for a short period of time. Now, Jesus does not want them to break forever. He only wants them to break for a while. The Sunday school teachers, faithful soul winners, prayer warriors, deacons, those who minister to children have need to remember that in all the hustle and bustle of ministry, in all the ebb and flow of life, there ought to be times of catching our breath for a time so that we do not wear out in the Lord's work. We learn from the passage that rest is a reward to those who work hard. Now, I must be honest and affirm that some Christians foolishly excuse and justify their laziness by saying, I don't have any ministry for the Lord right now because I am practicing Mark chapter 6 and I'm resting. Well, how long have you been resting? I've been resting for 25 years. This is my ministry. I have the ministry of rest. And I have a 4.0 in it. There are those Christians who are afraid of burning out and they don't want to burn out. Therefore, they justify, well, I don't want to burn out because I'm afraid, and so I'm going to distance myself from any ministry, and my main ministry is the ministry of rest. There's no praying, there's no encouraging, there's no calling, there's no serving, there's no getting into the trenches and working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me be clear and say that this text is not an exhortation for laborers to quit laboring for the Lord. It is an exhortation for laborers not to burn out. So I don't expect you to flock to me after the message and hand in your resignations. If I'm to be transparent tonight, I must tell you that the temptation among most Christians in the church today is not that they are too busy working for the Lord. It is that they are too lazy in the work of the Lord. And there is a reason why the old saying remains alive this day that 10% of Christians are doing 90% of the work, because it's true. It has been true. It is true. And hopefully we can see it changed. There's so much to be done. There are so many gaps to be filled. And yet most Christians are content with taking their ease, watching other Christians give themselves to ministry. Most Christians are content with being spectators, not participators. Most are content with coming to one preaching service a week. Most Christians provide 1,001 excuses why they cannot give their time or energy to the Lord. And at the same time, you hear of their adventures, fishing and camping, and giving themselves to various social clubs and groups. So the trouble in the church is not that we have too many laborers. The trouble in the church is that we have too many loiterers. I'm completely aware that our church is filled with many who are older in age. And I'm aware that some of you have sincere health problems. We acknowledge such things. But I'm also aware that there are many of those in our community who profess the name of Christ who are older in age, who go out to the gym every day, who play sports and give themselves to various hobbies. We have a man in his 90s who is normally here who is still serving faithfully in the choir. Rest is needful, but it is needful for those who are getting their hands dirty in the work of the Lord. So we might ask, how is our labor for the Lord? What is your ministry? Do you have one? If not, why not? What are you giving yourself to? What tangible thing can you tell your brother or sister in Christ, this is my ministry in the church? And it may be prayer. It may be encouragement. It may be that you bring others dinner. It may be that you are faithful in a children's ministry. But whatever it is, there should be something that you do for the Lord through the local church. Jesus says the night is coming when no man can work, but he also exhorts us to work while it is day. Jesus calls us to put our hands to the plow. He calls us to be a living sacrifice, to lay down our lives for the gospel's sake. I cannot remember the last time I heard of a Christian say that they have been so busy working for the Lord that they did not have time to eat. I think most Christians say, I don't have time to work for the Lord because I need to eat. I need to go to Sizzler. I need to stuff my face. I need to go to the fine dining restaurants. So this is the opposite of what we see in the text. I don't have time to labor for the Lord because my favorite sports team is playing on Sunday night. We have need of rest, yes. But we have need to labor before we rest. So who is rest for? We look at the text. Rest is for those who are giving themselves to the work of the Lord. Now let's consider what rest does. First, rest refreshes the body. Jesus gives us a reason for the disciples' need of rest. He says there were many coming and going. There were many people coming to the disciples and going. There were many who came to the disciples like they came to Jesus. Disciples, come, heal my daughter. Disciples, come, heal my son. Disciples, oh, come. There's one who's demon-possessed. Disciples, Teach us the way of God in the Scriptures. And Jesus says, there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The disciples were so busy that they've been missing meals. Now see the tenderness of Christ. See the compassion of Christ. See how He is as a loving parent. The disciples have been so focused on what the Lord sent them to do that they were failing to take care of themselves. And I think all of us can relate. For most of us, I think there have been times where we have been so in the zone in a project, so anxious to complete a task that we just carry on past lunchtime and we carry on past dinner time. And at the end of the day, when we carry on, we've been working and we haven't taken time to eat. We feel faint. We feel weak. The text doesn't specifically tell us that they missed one meal or two meals or perhaps a whole day of meals. We do not know. All we know is that they were so busy with the ministry that they did not take time to feed their own stomachs. Christ, in His compassion, was concerned. The Lord knew their frame. He knew that they were men and not superheroes. Jesus knew that they were men and not machines. Christ knew if they were to keep on in the same routine, missing meals, that it would not end up well for them. And so what does Jesus tell them to do? Jesus tells them to rest. Jesus was not only concerned about their stomach, He was concerned about their entire physical well-being. Jesus knew that ministering to people, though it is a great joy, can cause great strain and stress. Jesus knew that the disciples' physical condition affects their spiritual condition. He knows that if their bodies and minds are tired, weak, and weary, they will not minister with their full strength. And thus Jesus commands them to rest. Why? Because rest refreshes the body. Now, even the secular world understands this truth. There's a reason why schools have breaks. Christmas break, Easter break, summer break. There's a reason doctors and nurses, police officers, firefighters sometimes work a few days on and a few days off. Management knows that the work is strenuous, that the work is stressful, that it can overwhelm the mind. There's a reason why large, successful companies require their employees to take a few weeks out of the year for vacation. They know that vacation rests the body. Employers know that a rested body does not hurt the business, it helps the business. And so the reality is, this truth is going to seem like a shock to us, but no man can minister to other people without a mind or a body. Now, you may think that you know some ministers who minister without a mind, but that's a different sermon for a different time. We need our bodies to minister. If we are sick, we cannot minister. If we are weak, we cannot minister effectively. Christ wants His servants to rest from time to time to refresh the body. Christ wants His servants to rest from time to time to refresh the soul. Rest allows God's servants to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It allows God's servants to search their hearts, to spend time in prayer, to feast on the truths of the Bible for their own benefit. The disciples have been giving and giving and giving, pouring out spiritual truth after spiritual truth after spiritual truth. But the disciples cannot only be givers, they must be receivers. They must nourish their own souls before they can nourish the souls of others. Those who diligently minister to others must diligently minister to their own souls. And we use the illustration of the safety procedures in the airplane. In case of loss of oxygen in the cabin, make sure you take your own mask, put it on your own face before assisting others. And why does the safety procedure remind us of this elementary truth? So that we don't forget that we can only help others if we ourselves are breathing. What a novel truth. You cannot help your spouse on the airplane if you're passed out. And so it is in the spiritual realm. We cannot help others spiritually if we are not breathing the air of heaven. We remember the account of Mary and Martha. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what is Martha doing? Martha is cumbered about with many things. Martha's anxious. The Lord's in her house. I've got to be hospitable. I've got to make some cookies. I've got to make him the finest of teas. This is Jesus. And she's serving and serving, opening cabinets and opening drawers and serving and making sure everything looks perfect in her house. She's got to impress Jesus. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 one thing is needful. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. What is that one thing that is needful? Worship. Worship. Jesus is not de-emphasizing serving in that passage, but rather Jesus is emphasizing worship. Martha, you're cumbered about with so many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful, and it is the benefit of your soul. And you might hear the phrase passed around in Christian circles, we are saved to serve, we are saved to serve, we are saved to serve. And I understand and I comprehend that to an extent. But I would say we are not primarily saved to serve, we are primarily saved to worship. We are primarily saved to adore the one who is worthy. And out of that worship and out of that adoration, then comes our service. God is not a harsh taskmaster in heaven whipping his children to serve him and to slave away whatever the cost. Oh no, God wants primarily his children to worship him. And this is why Peter tells other pastors in his epistle, take heed to yourselves. Pastors, you are to be an example to the flock. Take heed to your own spiritual well-being, because you cannot help others unless you yourselves are walking with the Lord. This is why Paul tells the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 to take heed to themselves. The reality is, it is possible, it is easy to do the work of the ministry in the power of the flesh. It is possible to do God's work mechanically. It's possible to do God's work merely out of tradition, without our heart being in it. It's possible to lead your home in these ways, in the power of the flesh, mechanically, traditionally. It's possible to raise our children in such a way. It's possible to be involved in teaching others about God when our heart is separated from God. God does not want his servants living and ministering in such a way. God wants his servants radiating in the presence of Jesus Christ. God wants his servants to be spirit-filled and scripture-filled. God does not want the Sunday school teacher, the children's ministry worker, the deacon, or the pastor heartlessly going through the motions. He wants them to be vibrant and joyful and most of all, spiritually minded. There's a reason why Stephen, this man sent out to preach, was a man full of the Spirit, a man full of faith. There's a reason why there are qualifications for the pastor and the deacons. God wants his servants to be spiritual. What kind of person do you want training your children in the Sunday school class? Any Joe Blow off the street? Any happy entertainer? Anybody who can just open a Bible? Or do you want them to be one who's walking with the Lord? One who has a sweet and sincere spirit? One who radiates with the joy of Jesus Christ? I can tell you which one I want my children to be exposed to. The one who is seeking to grow in grace. So God ordains rest not only to refresh the body, but also to refresh the soul. Listen, the rubber band can only be stretched so much before it snaps. There are times in the busyness of life and ministry that we need to come apart before we come apart. So rest teaches us that it is a benefit to the body. It is a benefit to the soul. Rest teaches us and others that God is not dependent upon us. Why did Jesus call the disciples away? He wanted the disciples to understand that God is not dependent upon them. God's work can and does go on without us. Sometimes in our ignorance, we begin to believe that we are indispensable. Sometimes in our sightless zeal, we think that God's work can only go on with our labors. Now think about what God calls the disciples to do. They are doing a good work. They're doing a needful work. It is true that souls were perishing, that sicknesses of others were growing worse. It is true that when Christ told the disciples to come apart and rest, there were those still being harassed by the devil. Some who were demon-possessed, who were suicidal, casting themselves into fire and water. It was true that the communities were depending upon the disciples to help them. And Jesus wisely says, "Men, I know you have all these things pressing on your heart, but you have need of a break. You have need of a break so you and others are convinced that you are not in control, but that God is in control. God will accomplish His work in His own time and His own ways. And though God does choose to use us, listen, He is not reliant upon us. That's the need for rest. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. Sometimes if we do not heed the call to rest, God has to lay us on our back or send an illness our way to teach us that we are not in control. It's not a pleasant lesson. So rest teaches us and others that God is not dependent upon us. And then rest prepares us for future work. Rest prepares us for continued effectiveness. You know how it is after an extended vacation, after a break from work, a break from teaching your Sunday school class, you're excited to get back to the work again. The time of rest has been needful. The time of rest was enjoyable, but it's time to get back in the saddle. And there's an anticipation after a time of rest, and you've prayed and you've sought the Lord, and there are new ideas that come to mind in that rest, and you have an eagerness to plow forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so rest prepares us for future work. This was the heart of the disciples. After a couple days of eating and resting and meditating, the disciples would be itching to get back to their work. They were eager to see how God was going to use them in the days to come. And so Jesus was teaching the disciples that alongside of their ministry of teaching and their ministry of healing and their ministry of serving, that they must not neglect the needful ministry of resting. Resting intensifies, not weakens, their ministry for the Lord. As we consider these things, turn to Mark chapter 1, if you will. Mark chapter 1. Do you realize that even Jesus, the God-man, had need of rest? Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 32. Who is Jesus to tell the disciples their need of rest? Did Jesus practice this in His own life? Well, yes. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased." Wait a second. The sun set. Clock's out. You signed your time card out. Jesus, take a break. Kick off your shoes. Watch a game. "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils." Oh boy, that's going to be a carnival. These weren't people to encourage him. These were people who needed help. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. In other words, Jesus, what are you doing? Do you have no need of knowing, or do you not know that all men are seeking for you still? What are you doing separating yourself when there are people who are in need? What does Jesus teach us here? Jesus teaches that in all of our ministries, we must not neglect the ministry of rest. Now, Jesus is not going on a cruise ship for a month. He's not breaking apart from his ministry indefinitely, but he is getting alone to a quiet, secluded place. He's getting alone in his prayer closet to rest his body, to rest his mind, to rest his soul, and to be recharged for the ministry ahead. Taking a break from others, fellowshipping with the Father. And if Jesus had need of rest, how much more do we? Who is rest for? Rest is for those who faithfully labor. What does rest do? Rest refreshes the body. Rest refreshes the soul. Rest teaches others and ourselves that God is not dependent upon us. And rest prepares us for future work.